I'm thankful that God has again been merciful to us and blessed us with an opportunity to be here yet another Lord's Day this side of eternity and be able to worship Him in spirit and in truth. As stated earlier, we have several visitors with us, and we're thankful for that. And we hope that you'll come back and be with us at every opportunity that you have. That is certainly encouraging to us. I invite you to open your Bibles up and follow along with me. Make sure that what I say is in harmony with the Bible. I certainly don't want to fall short of what the Bible says, and I don't want to go beyond what the Bible says. But we certainly cannot go wrong if we stick with what God's Word says. We believe it and obey it and live faithful to it all the days of our life. And I'll do my very best to give you book, chapter, and verse for the things that I say this morning. I appreciate the song service this morning, the terrific fashion in which they were led. That certainly makes a topic like we're going to talk about this morning easier. Just a moment ago, it was read in our hearing from Psalm 149, verse 1, where the Bible says, "Sing unto the Lord." Much is said today about singing.
Amen.
And about the accompaniment of singing, what's not to accompany our singing. We've done lessons on that. We've done Bible classes on the singing without the use of mechanical instrumental music. What is not to accompany our singing. The Old Testament, the New Testament, both have all sorts of things to say about singing. This is something that the children of Israel engaged in the Old Testament. It is something that God's people engages in this side of the cross, just like we did this morning, to sing without the use of a mechanical instrument. I'm thankful for that. The singing was just very well and encouraging and uplifting. This morning I do want us to think about singing to the Lord. Again from Psalm 149 verse 1, "Sing unto the Lord." You know, in the New Testament again, it is stated over and over and over that the disciples sang praises unto God. When you look at Mark 14, verse 26, when the Bible says, "And after they had done this, they went out to the Mount of Olives and sung a hymn." The Bible says in Acts 16, verse 25, that even though Paul and Silas were cast into prison, being persecuted because of their love for the truth and their proclaiming of the gospel of Christ, that at midnight they sang and prayed unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Isn't that encouraging? Then when we look at examples like that in the midst of persecution and opposition, that we have this example of two men who sang praise unto God. We look in places like Romans 15, verse 9, about singing to God. 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 14, as we'll look at in just a moment, when he said, "What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit. I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit. I will sing with the understanding also." And then those well-known passages to all of us, Ephesians 5, verse number 19, when he talks about speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, sing and make a melody in your heart to the Lord. Or Colossians 3, and verse 16, when he talks about singing in that passage. And then the question that is asked in James 5 and verse number 13, when he said, "Is any among you merry, let him sing psalms or hymns." So I want us to think about singing to the Lord this morning. But I want us to think about an aspect that usually we don't think about and typically we don't hear sermons presented on. Hebrews 2:12, the Bible says, "Sing, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church or the assembly will I sing praise unto thee." Again, much is said about what is not to accompany our singing. And that is important. It's vitally important, especially in our time, that we understand that we are to sing, making melody in our heart, not with some instrument that man made, but blending our voices together, making melody or plucking on the string of our heart.
Amen.
You understand that. So do I. But this morning, I want us to think about accompanying. It just simply means to go along with or be in company with. I want us to think about things that should accompany our singing. Again, we don't really think about this often, or maybe we do just take it for granted, and maybe much is not said about what needs to accompany our singing. But this is important. You know, sometimes if we're not careful, when we come together upon the first day of the week or for our Bible class during the week and we offer these hymns of praise to God, if we're not careful, we begin to lose motivation in our singing. That can happen. It can be the case that for one reason or another, we don't sing out like we should. That we don't realize that what we're doing is important. It's important to one another. It's important to God. It's important to what's going on here relative to our singing. And so sometimes our singing may grow weary or soft or not have the enthusiasm which it ought to have. And that can happen. I've noticed in the past few weeks that that's been the case. Certainly not the case this morning. We're very thankful for the song service and the way that they were led. But I want to point out some things that are very important to encourage us to think about our singing. You know, a lot of times emphasis is placed on, and rightfully so, on the Lord's Supper and on giving and on praying and on teaching the unadulterated Word of God. But what about our singing? You know, that's vitally important too. That's one of our means of worship to God. One of our avenues, one of our acts of worship, if you will, that we use to pay homage to or worship our Heavenly Father. Do we think of it that way? I love to listen to congregations sing. And I love to sing with them. May not be very good at it, but I love to engage in it. And it's very nice to hear four-part harmony. But folks, there are things of greater value and importance than four-part harmony. Now that's nice to hear. But my point about that is if we get so caught up in how it's wrote and where I'm at on the page and I get lost because I have no idea where I'm at, then I'm losing the significance of what I'm doing in my singing. Because I am to accomplish something in singing. So are you. Right? We're going to look at that this morning. Again, the song service we just had certainly makes it easier to think about some of the things that we are going to talk about this morning. But here's some things that need to accompany, to be in company with our singing. And that is understanding. Now keep in mind the context of 1 Corinthians 14 is talking about really the regulation of spiritual gifts. You have chapters 12, 13, and 14 that talk about spiritual gifts, the duration of spiritual gifts, the regulation of spiritual gifts. But the statement is made in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, as we just mentioned a moment ago, when he says, "What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also." That word Spirit is the same Greek word, by the way, that's found in John chapter 4 and verse 24. When the Lord said that God is a Spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth, can have the idea of our attitude, what we're doing, singing with the right attitude, singing with the right understanding. Do we understand what we're doing? Do we understand what we're singing? Do we understand what is engaged in singing to God? Do we? Do we think about it? Again, a lot of the hymns that are written are just beautiful hymns. But if it's written to the point that it distracts us from being able to sing with the understanding that we need to have, what's the use in it? There's things that I need to understand when I engage in singing upon the first day of the week or on Wednesday as we blend our voices together. First of all, I want to suggest to you that I need to understand who it is that I'm singing to. I'm not singing to you or to please you. I'll make another comment about that in just a moment. But stay with me. That our singing is to the Lord. We are singing praise to the very God of heaven that created us and blessed us with the very opportunity, like He did today, to be in the midst of the assembly, to be in the household Oh God, 1 Timothy 3:15. To be among those of like precious faith. The very God that when we pick up our Bible, we read in the Old Testament, that created all things, that saved Noah and his family by the water. The very God that led the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage and led them through the wilderness on into the promised land, that promised to one day redeem mankind through the sending of the Messiah, His Son. And then in the New Testament, all the things that we read about God and what He did and who He is, that is the same God that we blend our voices in singing to even to this present day.
Amen.
Doesn't that encourage you? It does me. When we think about fellowship that I pointed out, I think it was last week or the week before, for the book of 1 John chapter 1, that we can have fellowship with Christ, we can have fellowship with God, we can have fellowship one with another. The very God that we read about in the Bible. Not some God that was just conjured up in the minds of man. Not some God that you read about in some book that some man just dreamt up and wrote about. But the God of the Bible is the one that we serve today. We need to understand that. That when we come together and we sing, that we are singing praise to God.
Amen.
Do we think about that? Do we think about the hymns that we are singing and that it's directed to our Heavenly Father? Lifted up into His presence. I hope that we understand that. But we also need to understand that one of the purposes, as we'll look at in just a moment, that we sing is certainly to encourage or admonish and edify one another. To teach and admonish one another. Look, if you will, at the book of Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5, verse 19. He says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And we could stop right there and make some very valid points. We don't just come together and sing any type of song, do we? We don't come together and just sing some contemporary song that somebody just decided to put together because they think that this hymnal is just old-fashioned. And well, let's modernize it and let's get a little bit of foot stomping in it or hand clapping or some oohing and aahing as people are doing today. I've seen I don't know how many times signs or marquees in front of buildings. Traditional service at 9, contemporary service at 10. Isn't that sad? The songs that we sing are psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. Songs with spiritual meaning to them. We're singing about spiritual things, are we not? There's a land that is fairer than day. One of my favorite hymns. Sweet by and by. Are we singing about the return of our Lord? Are we singing about on Jordan's stormy banks I stand? Or Paradise Valley, or whatever it may be. These are songs that are grounded and focused on spiritual things. Not worldly things, but spiritual things. Singing. Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. Again, directed to God. If you go over to Colossians chapter 3, and verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. Admonishing means to encourage, to exhort, to build up one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Our singing is to accomplish that. If we're not accomplishing that in our singing, then we're failing what God has required of us. To sing praise unto God, to teach and to admonish one another in spirit with the right attitude. You know, sometimes we just simply go through the motions of something. We just simply go, well, this is what we do Sunday after Sunday, week after week, and we really don't give any thought to it. That we just kind of do it by rote. Because we've always done it that way, and so it just becomes more of a tradition than it does grounded in truth. What motivates us to do these things is to do what God would have us to do. And we've got to stick with what God would have us to do. You agree with that? You don't have to answer out loud.
Amen.
But we've got to stick with what the Bible says, Colossians 3:17, not to go beyond or fall short of what the Bible says, Revelation 22:18 and 19. The book of Deuteronomy talks about that in a number of places. Not going to part into the left hand or the right hand, but to do what God would have us to do. Serve God with the right attitude. I love the fact that when we begin a service, often it is stated that here we are in the presence of God. We need to rid our minds of every earthly thing and give God the due respect. In fact, that's actually taken. If you don't know that, write on the clipboard that the person making the announcement has. That's good for us to know. I was so very encouraged when we moved here and or came over to visit for the first time in December of 2013, and to see that you began the service with a moment of silence. To get our minds prepared for and focused on the very thing that we're doing. That's important. That's encouraging. But to sing unto the Lord and to do the things that God would have us to do. Here's another one. Grace. Now, this is not talking about grace in the sense of unmerited favor and the grace that God bestowed upon man. Truly did. Certainly did. Grace came by Jesus Christ, John 1:17. It's grace that saves, Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 10. Appeared to all men, Titus 2, verse 11. We talked about that in our Bible class this morning. But again, if you notice in Colossians 3, verse 16, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord, this means with gratitude. Comes from a word that can mean gratitude or thankfulness, again, to God. Are we thankful to God? We often sing about being thankful to God and the mercies of God and the blessings of God. But if we are truly thankful to God, will that not be demonstrated for us? Won't we be able to tell that in our singing? Sure you will. If we have some of these other things that we're going to look at in just a moment. Sing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. I just did a sermon last week on the thankful leper. And how that we're all blessed. I'm telling you, even on our darkest of days, surely our cup runneth over.
Amen.
We need to stop and to count our blessings and understand that the great God of heaven has blessed you abundantly and He's blessed me. Now think about that. Here we are this side the cross. This side the shed blood of Christ. And He died for you. He died for me. So that heaven can be our home if we'll only obey and live faithful to Him. Are we thankful for that? When we sing about that, do we sing with a thankful heart, with a grateful heart, gratitude in our hearts to the Lord? Is that evidenced in our singing? Here's another one, with conviction. You know, conviction was something that was so very important in the Old Testament, the New Testament. They prayed for that the disciples might with boldness proclaim the gospel of Christ, Acts 4:29. Ephesians 3:12 talks about that. But our singing needs to be done with conviction. How well do you believe what you are singing? How much do you believe when you open up these hymnals and you begin to sing what is printed on the page? How much do you believe those things? Do you? Do you sing them with conviction? We're marching to Zion. Sometimes we may sing that song. But yet if we were marching in the relation to the way that we were singing to folks, we'd never get there. At times. We're marching to Zion. There's a beautiful home of the soul, right? Better things to come for those who have obeyed the gospel of Christ. And we sing about that. Do we have that conviction that those things are real? Do we? Song of Invitation, number 12 in the supplement. I need no mention here. Not about not needing a mention here below. Told me I can go, right? Better things to come and so forth is a thought in that song. In just a moment, we're going to stand in unison, sing that great hymn of invitation. But are we going to sing it with the conviction that I believe that that place that the Lord said, I go to prepare for you, John 14, verses 1 through 6, that it is real, that heaven is real, and I want to go there, and God has promised that I can go, and as a result, I need no mention here below. Are we going to sing with the conviction of that? When we sing about, Lord, here am I, send me. Do we really mean that? Here am I, send me. I'll go and do the work that you have given for me to do. And yes, sometimes we may sing that so softly, so quietly. And here we are singing about, Lord, here am I, send me. Or the great hymn that I like, and no doubt you like, I want to be a worker for the Lord. Well, if I sung that, meant that as about as the way that sometimes maybe I sing that, am I really enthusiastic about wanting to be a worker for the Lord? My point, though, is that is we need to have conviction of what we're doing, not only in the preaching, not only in the seriousness of what we're doing, but also in the singing. I believe what I'm singing about. I believe in Him whom I'm directing these hymns of praise to. Do you? The last mile of the way. Do I believe that one of these days I'm going to travel the last mile of the way here? Do I believe that? Can sing that with conviction? Where could I go? Another great hymn. But to the Lord. Do I believe that? Do I have the conviction? Where am I going to go? But to the Lord. And so many more examples. Pick the hymn book up sometime and look at those. And as you sing, think about the words that you're singing. You know, it's very easy if we're not careful to sing a lie. We can be guilty of telling a lie, but folks, we can be guilty of singing a lie as well. If I don't want to be a worker for the Lord, and I don't want to be on the Lord's side, and yet I'm sitting there proclaiming, who is on the Lord's side? Master, here am I. And yet I have no desire whatsoever to be a worker for the Lord. Am I being truthful? Let's have the conviction that these songs deserve. Again, we are directing them to God. And volume. All volume has nothing to do with it. Yes, it does. If our singing is going to accomplish what God said it is to accomplish, there has to be volume. Now, I'm not saying scream. I'm not saying it that way. But what the point that I'm making is Ephesians 5:19 talks about teaching and admonishing one another. And folks, you can't admonish and encourage me, and neither can I you, if you cannot hear me. But often the case is, perhaps out of habit more than anything, what do? Here we are, with our psalm book in our lap, with our head hung down, singing the hymns. I want to admonish you and I want to encourage you. Now again, I can't read music very well. And I may miss and bust notes all along the way. But I'm going to do my best to admonish you or to encourage you. And I know that you will, me as well. At least we want to be able to accomplish that. And if we are going to accomplish that, then we're going to have to sing out. Again, it's to the Lord. And we admonish one another. Weren't you so encouraged this morning from those hymns that we sung? 34, 39 of this book, page 35, Born to Serve the Lord. Man, what an encouraging song. So many other ones, Hallelujah in the hymn book, just a beautiful hymn. As the Deer. Beautiful hymns that can inspire, encourage one another, admonish one another, can teach us about the blessings of God, sung to our Heavenly Father. I hope that we think about that and sing these songs in a way that is befitting the praise that God richly deserves. He deserves it. You agree with that? that God deserves our reverence, our respect, our praise, our adoration, not only to be included in our prayer, but in our singing. As we worship Him in spirit and in truth. I'm so thankful that we serve a merciful God who has blessed us to be able to be a member of the body of Christ. The church that you read about on the pages of the Bible, that encourages me. And I hope that it does you too. I hope that when we pick up these hymn books in just a moment and we sing that song of invitation, and each and every time that we do that, that we think about why we are doing what we're doing. Why are we singing? What's the purpose behind it? What's the reason behind it? Nothing difficult about what we talked about this morning. Just a handful of passages. Ones that you're very familiar with, but we all need to be reminded about. Don't grow weary in well-doing. Galatians 6, verse 9. Nothing we do, as we talked about in the Bible class this morning, is to no avail in service to God. 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 54. Hope that the lesson has been of benefit to you as we think about our singing to our great God. Perhaps you're here this morning, you've never obeyed the gospel of Christ. What are you waiting for? You don't have to answer that to me. But you know and God knows. Well, what are you waiting on? What are you waiting for? I'll make this promise to you. That if you've never obeyed the gospel of Christ, and you obey it this morning, that you will have more help inside the Lord's body than you will ever have outside of the Lord's body. Because you'll be on the Lord's side. And you'll have God that will be there to help see you through. A God who cares about you and wants you to be with Him forever in His presence, in the joys of heaven, for all eternity, if you'll simply turn from the ways of the world, repent of your sins, and obey. Here's how you become a Christian that will never change. That will never change. To hear the gospel, Romans 10:17, believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Repent of your sins, that means a change of mind that results in a change of action. To confess your faith in Christ that He is the Son of God, I believe that, do you? You're willing to confess that before those present this morning, just like the eunuch did in Acts 8:37, when he said, "See, here's water, what intend are me to be baptized?" Then Philip said, "Thou mayest if thou believest with all thine heart." And he said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is Son of God." And then to be baptized for the remission of your sins. Acts 2:38, Mark 16:16, a host of other passages. To arise to walk in newness of life, having been added to the church of Christ by the Lord. Acts 2, verse number 47. And like the eunuch, you can go on your way rejoicing. All things are ready. The question is, are you? But perhaps you have done that and you've fallen away, you've turned your back on the Lord and you're not living right and you know that you're not. Why not repent of those things? Make confession to God in prayer that He'll restore you to faithfulness. We'll pray with you for you. If you're subject to the gospel, come. We bid you come.
Remember in God.